How do you artistically connect with children and families to educate them about eco-anxiety?
Good question. So what do you mean by educate about eco-anxiety, of informing them or trying or helping them to solve it?
Informing them and sort of what actions they can take.
Okay, so I can give you an example of a project that I did 3 years ago, where I created a camp in Cornwall and we invited whole families to join us and talk about climate change. So the camp was sort of imagined as a refugee camp. And before the families came, they got a video message saying that their village was going to be flooded and they had to evacuate. So they came in as refugee families, and the camp that we created was like a holding camp. So they arrived and they had to set up sort of a camp with their tents. And then the whole weekend, we did different kind of activities and creative activities, lots of making and building structures and a bit of theater to really allow these families to talk together what they think about climate change, how they feel about it, and that if they were faced with a situation where they had to flee, what they would take, for example, what they would change in their lives. So I guess my reply to your question is to allow young people, but also adults, to face up to the severity of the situation, but then also help them to come up with solutions and things that they can do in their lives at that very moment that give them agency rather than just feeling completely hopeless and tragic about it, because that's not going to help us and it's not going to help anyone, is it? So we can't deny that the situation is really bad and that we're going to face some really hard struggles in the future, but that doesn't mean that as people, and especially as young people as you are, that there's nowhere for you to go. And I think that's where eco-anxiety can turn into actually a real feeling of power, and that you have the power to make a change and that you can face up to these problems. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. What sort of things can you share about the outcomes you have created in collaborations with universities?
Is that with scientists or with students?
Both.
Both. Okay. So I teach at a university college, and there I work with teachers and people that work in the community. So I kind of help them to basically find their own way as to how they can work with other people creatively, but also in the face of climate change and sort of larger ecological issues. And then as an artist, I have worked a lot with scientists, especially at Exeter University. So I have a background in sort of agriculture and environmental sciences, but then I did a PhD in the arts, because I think that the only way, or one of the most important ways in which we can raise awareness around climate change, is by creatively engaging people in these issues. And often scientists work very much within their particular discipline, so they can do one thing. They're either just mathematicians, or they're just social scientists, or they're just environmental sort of ecologists. And where I think that the arts have a very important role is to link all these different bits of knowledge, because we're not going to solve all these problems by just sort of having mathematicians think about them, or just people that know about water. All these different bits of knowledge have to be linked, and that's where the arts can play a very important role. So I think as an artist and as somebody who understands science and understands sort of ecology and environmental issues, I am very well placed to put different people with different bits of knowledge at different universities together in one space to start thinking about how we should shape the future.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so looking from like 3 years from now, how do you think the planet has improved sustainably?
3 years in the future?
Yeah.
Good question. Well, I think within the next 3 years, we have to make some really big changes.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of time left, is there? It's like, it does feel like this decade is going to be kind of determining our fate. So I would think that in the next 3 years, we have made a lot of changes. And also looking at, well, the past year and, well, everything that COVID has done to us, hopefully makes us realize that we can shift things quite quickly if we have to. You know, we were able to completely change how we work and live, how we relate to each other. So there's, in a way, there's no excuses from anyone that we can't change, as long as there is enough willingness for people to do so, and obviously sort of governmental action. So I'm really hoping that, well, with the G7 and people coming together, having learned from what we can do from the past 2 years, they will be brave enough to make some really big decisions about oil production, or how we finance and how we punish ecocide, for example. So there's been a really amazing example in the Netherlands, where Shell has to finally actually fit within the Paris Agreement, and this hasn't happened before. So there's definite big shifts that are happening, and I can see them happening quicker and quicker. So I hope that in the next three years, things will change, and especially that companies and governments that are polluting and that are not fitting in with, say, the Paris Agreement will be accountable for their actions.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you. Another question is, have you got any examples of how you have inspired people to become more eco-friendly?
I think the most, I guess, coming back to the example that I talked about at the beginning, that's definitely shifted people's, not necessarily their awareness about climate change, because they were probably all quite aware already, but I think it shifted how they, how able they feel about doing something. So rather than feeling very tragic, they felt that they could make little shifts in their lives. And one of the things that they said, for example, that it was that within the family, they were much better able to talk to about these things together. So that was quite significant. And then maybe another example was that I did a project in Porthleven in Cornwall, where we worked with a whole community and we made a performance on the beach and in the harbour, sort of raising people's awareness of where the water would come to and how much the harbour would be affected if we were to have a 2 degree rise in temperature and obviously sea levels rising. So there was a moment where lots of people from residents from Porthleven were standing on the harbour wall and basically just imagining it. What does that look like if half of our village is underwater? So it's that kind of imagination of what it's actually going to do that I think is really important, and that then shifts what people do in their own lives.
What kind of shifts would you recommend people at home make?
At home?
Yeah.
Probably all the little things that we should be doing, like being in a car less, taking the bike out more, not buying fruit and vegetable that's not seasonal, just thinking about how much air miles, how much carbon is produced by our behaviors. But I think it's also really important to acknowledge that actually the very big shifts have to be made, not by us, our little actions at home, but the big companies, governmental actions. So I often feel a little bit unfair that we are being told that we should be driving less. Obviously we should, but actually at the same time, the government is still financing, you know, gas, oil production by billions. You know, these are huge huge support that is still being given to polluting and companies that create a lot of carbon. So that means that what we also should do is constantly put pressure on these big companies that they should be changing their behaviors. And that's maybe something that we should do as well. And especially for you young people, you know, don't feel that you have to be quiet about these things. You need to really speak up loud in order to show that you care about this.
Yes.
And that you'll be voting for certain people in the future, and that they should be taking account what you think about these things.
For the benefit of the people, what do you know about Mount Rushmore in Cornwall? And how could you tell us your opinion about its impact?
I don't know. Tell me about it. What is it?
There was this like statue of like the world of the G7 leaders in Carbis Bay, and it was made out of recycled electronic devices that can't be put into landfill properly. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking, how is your opinion on it? Because we know you sort of like make work out of like recycled materials and that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't seen it yet, and I didn't actually know that it was going to be created. So that's nice, I guess. Is it going to be permanent or?
I'm not really sure. I think it might just be for like G7, but okay. It'd be good if it's permanent.
Yeah. So I think it sounds really nice, but I'm hanging a banner from a bridge next tomorrow, which says no more cheap talk. We want action. And maybe that also applies to this. Yeah, it's really nice to have a recycled statue, but if then what they're talking about inside is not about recycling or environmental action at all, then what's the point of a statue?
Yeah.
But I don't want to be that negative, maybe.
As the younger generation, how would you advise us to learn more about how we can save our planet?
By using your voice and seeing yourself as leaders, especially, you know, looking at girls. There's some really amazing, obviously, sort of lead figures, not just Greta Thunberg, but there's a couple of girls from the Amazonian rainforest that are completely standing up for their families and their populations. So it's about, you know, you have immensely creative minds. At the moment, the way your brains are developing and how many connections you're making really allows you to be really creative and out of the box, whereas we adults kind of get stuck in one way of thinking and one way of doing things. So use that potential, you know, and make sure that people hear about the ideas that you have and that you really care about the planet and that there are certain ways that you just disagree with. So finding these channels and finding ways to make that voice heard, I think, is really important for you.
Amazing. Thank you.